is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. Of your testimonies before kings, O Lord,
and shall not be put to shame.
I will bless the Lord at all times.
His praise shall continually be in my mouth.
My soul makes its boast in the Lord.
Let the humble hear and be glad.
Come, O children, listen to me.
I will teach you the fear of the Lord.
The Lord redeems the life of his servants.
None of those who take refuge in him will be condemned.
Amen. almighty and gracious Lord, pour out your Holy Spirit on your faithful people. Keep us steadfast in your grace and truth. Protect and deliver us in times of temptation. Defend us against all enemies, and grant to your church your saving peace. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The first reading for the Festival of the Reformation is from the Revelation of Jesus Christ to St. John, the 14th chapter. Then I saw another angel flying directly overhead with an eternal gospel to proclaim to those who dwell on earth, to every nation and tribe and language and people. And he said with a loud voice, "Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come, and worship him who made heaven and earth, the sea, and the springs of water." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The second reading is from St. Paul's letter to the church in Rome, the 3rd chapter. Now we know that whatever the law says, it speaks to those who are under the law, so that every mouth may be stopped and the whole world may be held accountable to God. For by works of the law, no human being will be justified in his sight, since through the law comes knowledge of sin. But now, the righteousness of God has been manifested apart from the law, although the law and the prophets bear witness to it. The righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ for all who believe. For there is no distinction, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, and are justified by his grace as a gift through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus, whom God put forward as a propitiation by his blood to be received by faith. This was to show God's righteousness, because in his divine forbearance he had passed over former sins. It was to show his righteousness at the present time, so that he might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. Then what becomes of our boasting? It is excluded. By what kind of law? By a law of works? No. But by the law of faith. For we hold that one is justified by faith apart from works of the law. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 11th chapter.
Glory be to you, O Lord.
Jesus said, "From the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John, and if you are willing to accept it, he is Elijah who is to come. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. But to what shall I compare this generation? It is like children sitting in the marketplaces and calling to their playmates, 'We played the flute for you, and you did not dance. We sang a dirge, and you did not mourn.' For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say, 'He has a demon.' The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. This is the gospel of the Lord. Having heard the word, what do you believe?
I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance by Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Ghost of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of the Father. And he shall come again with glory to judge both the quick and the dead, whose kingdom shall have no end. And I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeded from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spake by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Catholic and Apostolic Church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen.
From God, our Father, and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our text is from the Gospel reading, Matthew chapter 11. I will reread a few verses. Jesus said, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. For John came neither eating nor drinking, and they say he has a demon. The Son of Man came eating and drinking, and they say, look at him, a glutton and a drunkard, a friend of tax collectors and sinners. Yet wisdom is justified by her deeds. This is our text. It's been said that those who don't remember the past are condemned to repeat it. If you don't remember what has gone before, then you'll simply fall into the same things yourselves. History matters. It shapes our world, and it shapes us. Maybe you can think of ways in your own life that your own personal history has shaped you, or we can think in our nation of the way our history has shaped us. Next year will be the 250th anniversary of the Declaration of Independence. But how do we remember the past? We can learn about history by reading books or by watching documentaries or by listening to podcasts. Those are all fine things to do. We also can honor our history. We can honor our history by celebrating it, by cherishing the practices and treasures that have been handed down to us, as we do today. Because today we remember a particular set of historical events known as the Reformation. These events have shaped the entire Christian church in some way, and especially the Lutheran church, which we're a part of. The Reformation began over 500 years ago when an Augustinian friar named Martin Luther posted a set of 95 statements for debate. You might remember that he nailed these to the door of the castle church. It sounds like a violent act, but that was simply their community post-it board. He put it up there for debate. His first statement, or his first thesis, was this: when our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. I'll say it again. When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, "Repent," he willed the entire life of believers to be one of repentance. For Luther, this wasn't just an abstract matter. For him, something had gotten under his skin. There was something that was bothering him. And it was this: in his day, repentance had become a mere formality. In his day, repentance was cheap. You could do penance, as it was called, simply by saying some prayers, or by doing certain acts, or even by paying a fee. In a very crass way, for some, repentance had become a matter of writing a check. It had little to do with people changing their lives or their hearts, and this bothered Luther deeply. He recognized that something needed to change. Or you might say that someone needed to change, that we all needed to change. When Luther started his first thesis with that word, repent, he was simply echoing what John the Baptist and Jesus had already said. Consider a couple of verses from the Gospel of Matthew. 1,500 years before Luther, John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." John the Baptist started with the word, repent. And when Jesus began to preach, he said the same thing: repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. John the Baptist, repent. Jesus, repent. And Luther's asking, whatever happened to repentance? But the Reformation wasn't about Luther. The Reformation was about the Bible, and the Bible is about Jesus, and repentance means being turned away from ourselves and from our sin and being brought back to Jesus again. So when we gather to celebrate Reformation, it is not only to remember the things that were said or done 500 years ago, it is rather to hear that same call in our own lives today. We are called to reformation. So here are some questions that are worth asking, always worth asking, but maybe especially worth asking today. What repentance is needed in your life?
Where do you need to repent? In what ways have you fallen short of the glory of God? And how do you measure up, or rather fail to measure up, to God's Ten Commandments? These are the questions that we ought to be asking. And when we ask these questions and we see places in our lives where repentance is needed, where God's law does its work of cutting us to the quick, that's where we know that the work of the Reformation is still going on, because it is the work of God's Word and of Jesus Christ in our lives. And when we see those places, we simply cry out, Lord Jesus, have mercy. And make our entire lives, from morning to night, inside and out, make our entire lives, lives of repentance. But not everyone who heard the call to repentance heeded it. There were many who heard the word repent and didn't. When Luther suffered for speaking the truth and for calling the church to repentance, he was following in the footsteps of those who had gone before. Jesus said in his day, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven has suffered violence, and the violent take it by force. You might remember the violence John the Baptist suffered for telling Herod not to take his brother's wife. John was thrown into prison and eventually executed. His head ended up being served on a platter. A gruesome business, calling people to repentance. Jesus knew that same violence would come for him, and that it would come for his followers as well. Those who refuse to receive the kingdom of heaven by faith will oppose the kingdom in word and deed, and even by violence. The apostles suffered such violence, and the church today in many parts of the world suffers that same violence as well. You might have noticed that on occasion we pray for suffering and persecuted Christians, because even if we aren't going through it here, there are Christians going through it in other places. History bears witness to the truth that the kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and the violent take it by force. Not just Christians, not just the church, but they take Jesus Christ himself. It seems to me that the greatest contrast between the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of this world is seen in the arrest of Jesus. You might remember that night Jesus went to the Garden of Gethsemane with the disciples, and he knelt down to pray. The kingdom of heaven comes. And as he prays there in the Garden of Gethsemane, this was his prayer: Father, if it be possible, let this cup of suffering pass from me. Nevertheless, not as I will, but as you will. And again he prayed, My Father, if this cannot pass unless I drink it, your will be done. And you know what was happening while he was praying? Judas Iscariot, with the chief priests and the Pharisees and the soldiers and the guard, was walking up the path to the Garden of Gethsemane. And they came up and laid hands on Jesus and seized him. The violent take it by force. The kingdom of heaven comes. And it comes in this way. It comes by Jesus drinking the cup. He drank the cup that was brimming with all the violence and suffering of history. He drank the cup containing the false and hard-hearted repentance of Christians down through the ages. He drank the cup filled with the sin of this world, and he drank it down to the dregs. And you know, the dregs are not something you want to drink. He consumed the entire cup of God's wrath until he cried out, hanging there, "It is finished." And he breathed his last. The kingdom of heaven suffers violence, and he still has the scars to prove it. And because of this, because of what Jesus has done, not because of what you or I do, but because of him, we are justified, we are declared righteous, we are forgiven. All those things that we thought of when the question was asked, what is it that I need to repent of? Paid for by the blood of Christ. We, even today, even right here, right now, we are justified by his grace as a gift. All because of Jesus. Where is our redemption? Our redemption is in Christ Jesus, and his blood is the sacrifice that has made atonement for sinners. His blood pleads before the Father in heaven for us and for all our needs. And how do we receive this gift? How do we receive the kingdom of heaven? It is received by faith alone. And that faith comes by hearing. Repent and believe, and everything that Jesus has already done is yours. This is the gospel. This is the good news. Let us not forget it, and let us not grow weary of hearing it. The good news is not just that God is good and merciful. The good news is that Jesus Christ, God's Son, has accomplished our salvation. For his sake, your sins are forgiven. And the history that matters most, the history that matters to us today, is what happened to him on the cross. And the best way to celebrate that history, the best way to remember what Jesus has done, is to cherish and to treasure the gifts that Jesus gives us. You cannot have the kingdom of heaven by violence, but you can receive the kingdom of heaven by faith. And you can receive it as it comes to you this day, as it comes into your ears and comes into your mouth. The Jewish leaders accused Jesus of being a glutton and a drunkard. They accused him because of the company he kept. But the tax collectors and the sinners, they knew where to find forgiveness. They knew where life was. They knew where salvation was to be received, in Jesus Christ. Let us not be numbered with those who are seizing the kingdom of heaven by violence, but let us rather be counted among the tax collectors and sinners, gathering to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. Martin Luther had that same call to look to Christ. On the back of the bulletin, there's a quote from Luther. It's from a letter that he wrote to George Spalatin, a friend of his who was suffering pangs of conscience about whether forgiveness was for him. And this is what Luther said, and I'm going to read it for you. Writing to his friend George Spalatin, he wrote, "Therefore, learn Christ and him crucified. Learn to praise him, and despairing of yourself, say, Lord Jesus, you are my righteousness, just as I am your sin. You have taken upon yourself what is mine, and have given to me what is yours. You have taken on yourself what you were not, and have given me what I was not. Beware of aspiring to such purity that you will not wish to be looked upon as a sinner or to be one. For Christ dwells only in sinners. Christ dwells only in sinners. On that account, he descended from heaven, where he dwelt among the righteous, to dwell among sinners. Meditate on this love of his, and you will see his sweet consolation. For why was it necessary for him to die if we can obtain a good conscience by our works and afflictions? So you will find peace only in him, and only when you despair of yourself and your own works. Besides, you will learn from him that just as he has received you, so he has made your sins his own, and he has made his righteousness yours. The Christian faith is not about getting over your sin. It is about repentance and faith. Christ came only for sinners. So if you find sin in yourself, then rejoice and look to him, because he came for you. Despair of yourself and your own works. You will never make yourself righteous, and your own righteousness will not save you, but his righteousness will. It will cover you, head to toe, inside and out. And so today we are invited to grab hold of this Jesus, invited to grab hold of the one who drank the cup and was crucified for us, invited to treasure the things that he gives us. What are the true treasures of the church? The two true treasures of the church are the Word of God, the holy sacraments, communion, and baptism, and the holy absolution that forgives our sins. The true treasures of the church are our brothers and sisters in Christ, who can speak to us again and again the truth that Jesus suffered and died for us. The true treasures of the church are the things that we have that show us Jesus, that make him known to us in all his saving work. The call comes to us again today, repent. And the Reformation started as a call to repentance. The call comes to us today, and believe, because it pointed sinners to Christ. Real repentance and real hearing by faith. That's what is needed in us, for us. That's what our world needs as well. That is the message that John the Baptist proclaimed, and Jesus proclaimed, and Martin Luther proclaimed, and that is still proclaimed today. Repent and believe, for the kingdom of heaven comes to you in Jesus Christ. And because the kingdom of heaven comes to you, you aren't condemned to repeat the past. For you have died to sin, and Christ now lives in you. And tomorrow doesn't have to be a repeat of yesterday. Yes, I know how it is. We still struggle with our sin and our weakness and our brokenness. The illnesses and diseases of this life don't get easier, they get harder. But we know what the future holds. We know that the future will not simply be a repeat of the past. What does the future hold for you and me? Glory in Christ Jesus and the life of the world to come. And we press on, not simply to go through the same thing we've been through before, but we press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. And it will not just be a repeat. For he who is seated on the throne says, "Behold, I am making all things new." And that includes you as well. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. The peace that passes all understanding, guard your hearts and your minds through Christ Jesus. Amen.
I will offer the thanksgiving sacrifice and call on the name of the Lord.
O Lord, thy strength, I love you.
Friends in Christ, I urge you all to lift up your hearts to God and pray with me as Christ our Lord has taught us and freely promised to hear us.
God the Father in heaven, look with mercy on us, your needy children on earth, and grant us grace that your holy name be hallowed by us and all the world through the pure and true teaching of your word and the fervent love shown forth in our lives. Graciously turn from us all false doctrine and evil living, whereby your precious name is blasphemed and profaned. Lord, in your mercy, may your kingdom come to us and expand. Bring all transgressors and those who are blinded and bound in the devil's kingdom to know Jesus Christ, your Son, by faith, that the number of Christians may be increased. Lord, in your mercy, strengthen us by your Spirit, according to your will, both in life and in death, in the midst of both good and evil things, that our own wills may be crucified daily and sacrificed to your good and gracious will. Into your merciful hands we commend Ted with his health issues, Edith in her recovery and return home, the Linick family as they await the homegoing of Audrey, David, who's dealing with an infection, Rose Marie, who is hospitalized, Abel, with thanksgiving for his recovery, Judy, as she receives treatment, Teresa, recovering from surgery, Gwen, in hospice care. We also commend to you Diane, Marilyn, Lori, Melinda, Jared, Claudette, Dale, Kay, Louise, Dave, and all who are in need, praying for them at all times. Thy will be done, Lord, in your mercy. Grant us our daily bread. Preserve us from greed and selfish cares. And help us trust in you to provide for all our needs. Preserve our nation. Give wisdom to our leaders and grant them integrity and faithfulness in carrying out their duties. Watch over the people of Jamaica and all who stand in the path of storms. Still the storms, and keep safe those who are endangered. Be with all who travel. Watch over and protect all expectant mothers and their children, especially Stephanie, Jamie, Catherine, and Emma. Comfort those who have suffered miscarriage or infertility. Protect the weak and the vulnerable, the elderly and the unborn. Be the fortress and refuge of those who suffer for doing good and speaking the truth. Grant justice to our sister, Erin Kate. Give her the peace that surpasses all understanding in her daily life and work, and defend her reputation and position from false accusations and attacks. Give justice also to Bishop Pohjola and Päivi Räisänen as they stand trial in Finland, strengthening them to confess you before others, that by their witness many would be brought to the saving knowledge of Christ and his forgiveness. Lord, in your mercy, forgive us our sins as we also forgive those who sin against us, so that our hearts may be at peace and may rejoice in a good conscience before you, and that no sin may ever frighten or alarm us. Lord, in your mercy, lead us not into temptation, O Lord, but help us by your Spirit to subdue our flesh, to turn from the world and its ways, and to overcome the devil with all his wiles. Lord, in your mercy. And lastly, O Heavenly Father, grant your comfort to those near death and your peace to those who grieve. Deliver us, we pray, from all evil of both body and soul in this and every time. Lord, in your mercy. We trust, O Lord, in your great mercy to hear and answer us through Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen.
the Lord our God.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord our God, King of all creation. For you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Grant us your Spirit, gracious Father, that we may give heed to the testament of your Son in true faith, and above all, firmly take to heart the words with which Christ gives to us his body and blood for our forgiveness. By your grace, lead us to remember and give thanks for the boundless love which he manifested to us when, by pouring out his precious blood, he saved us from your righteous wrath and from sin, death, and hell. Grant that we may receive the bread and wine, that is, his body and blood, as a gift, guarantee, and pledge of his salvation. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, at his command and with his own words, we receive his testament. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me."
Have mercy.
Our psalm today is Psalm 46, a song of thanks. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. God is our refuge and our strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear though the earth gives way, though the mountains be moved into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam, though the mountains tremble with swelling. There is a river whose stream make glad the city of God, the holy habitation of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God will help her when the morning dawns. The nations change, the wisdom of the kingdoms totter, they utter his voice, and the earth melts. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come behold the works of the Lord, how he has brought desolations on the earth. He makes war cease to the end of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, he burns the chariot with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Thank you. you in body and soul to life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Gracious God, our Heavenly Father, you have given us a foretaste of the feast to come in the Holy Supper of your Son's body and blood. Keep us firm in the true faith throughout our days of pilgrimage, that on the day of his coming, we may, together with all your saints, celebrate the marriage feast of the Lamb in his kingdom, which has no end. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
Bless we the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you.